would come. I would have to be right still until the whole crowd ate. My mama always said to me, Jim, take a tater and wait. Now taters never did taste good with chicken on the plate, but I had to eat them just the same. That is why I look so bad and have these puny ways, because I always had to take an old cold tater and wait. They would come to stay a while with us. I would have to slip around and raise a little fuss, in fear that I would spill the beans or break the china plate. My mama always said to me, Jim, take a tater and wait. Now taters never did taste good with chicken on the plate, but I had to eat them just the same. That is why so bad and have these puny ways, because I always had to take an old cold tater and wait.
And happy Saturday. It is Saturday and time for another edition of Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack. Tonight is episode 009 and is entitled Noticing Patterns with Mr. Dennis Fecho. And for those who have been following my work, you definitely know who Mr. Fecho is, the Fetch. And we're going to really have a good time here. He is being the troll slayer, road warrior that he is famous for being. It's like 4 a.m. where he is, but he's going to do with the show with us tonight. And for the people who aren't familiar with the Fetch's work, he's one of those people that, like myself, that kind of had his life turned upside down in the telecommunication industry after 9/11. And whereas I went into exile here in the Appalachian Mountains, he went to exile in the Middle East. He's the international man of mystery of somewhere in the Middle East. He used to move around a lot. But he did some incredible work with the esoteric side of our adversary. And he ran a site called the Occidental Observer, and
Illuminatus.
No, excuse me. Okay, I got it. But anyway, and one of the interesting things is when I was listening to an RBN show way back in the early days of the Troll Wars, somebody said, you know, you need to listen to this guy, the Fetch. You need to listen to this guy, the Fetch. So actually had a chance where he was filling in for someone else and happened to have that night off. So I got to hear, and it just so happens it was the night of the infamous Tuscan tussle with Bob Tuscan, where the Overton window of the entire truth movement just shifted that night, right? And then when I became a listener of his show and everything and his work, and he helped me a lot getting my show together. So we're going to be bringing him in a few minutes and let him tell about what he's seeing, where he is. So I wonder what he wants to talk about. Maybe he wants to talk about the weather, or maybe he wants to talk about Mr. Nancy Pelosi's mysterious 911 call about his friend that he doesn't know who's standing there with a hammer, or maybe he wants to talk about the recent Babylon Bee guy, Jerry Barry, boasting that he really wants to save the world by making white people breed out, except for the Chosenite chicken swingers that he wants to keep as a homogeneous system. So maybe you want to talk about that, or maybe he wants to talk about the madness in Memphis with the five police officers fatally beating Tyree Nichols. And it's just, is this organic? Is this synthetic? And then we find this police chief has an interesting background with her career in Atlanta. And, you know, we start watching the video and it's like, well, maybe this is just a Netflix version of A Clockwork Orange and Tyree Nichols is playing Alex being beaten by his own gang members, because now we're finding out these guys who beat him may have connection to the Vice Lords. Maybe we could talk about that. Or maybe we could talk about the fact that Miss Ursula Haverbeck, the 94-year-old German scholar and publisher who was facing 12 months in prison for the high crime of questioning the holy days of holy days, is not going to be sent back to the chicken shack. So that was great news this past week. Or maybe he wants to talk about the mysterious Ehud Unit 269 Barak and his mysterious new company, Toka, that specializes in hacking video security systems. Or maybe he wants to talk about the final season of Hunters, the Jewish revenge porn series that's in its final series, and they're going to find Hitler, according to the press releases. Or maybe he wants to talk about the real-life hunter, Brian Koberger, out there in Idaho, who just happened to murder a lot of college students, Alpha Male Goyim, that were in the prime, right? So that's pure curiosity there. Or maybe he wants to talk about Iran hanging a former defense minister because they claim he was working for the MI6. Or maybe he wants to talk about all the mysterious classified documents that seem to be everywhere now, from PETUS Joe Biden to former Twink VP Mike Pence. Or maybe he wants to talk about the Great Reset Globo Homo New World Order World Economic Forum Summit that happened in Davos, and what a clown show that was, and that you've got people like New Zealand Prime Minister stepping down, and she's all into the World Economic Forum. Or maybe he wants to talk about how learned ADL chicken swinger Jonathan Nosferatu Greenblatt is big mad about all the noticing numbers, and no one's taking his Auschwitz survivor grandfather tall tale super serious enough because of anti-Semitism during the high holy days of yet another International Holo Hoax Day. Or maybe he wants to talk about Handsome Truth's epic troll of the Florida town meeting as third-generation Holocaust survivor Tammy Cohen, who is the granddaughter of New York Times bestseller and author Irene Zisblatt, who penned the Auschwitz survivor classic Diamonds in the Fecal Matter. Was this the perfect troll for International Holo Hoax Week or not? Or maybe he wants to talk about the emergency measure the Florida's people are running through to make it illegal to do pamphleteering now, because instead of being protected by the First Amendment, they just call it littering, and if it's hate material, then they want it to be a federal hate crime for spreading truth. Or maybe he wants to talk about the new Martin Luther King $10 million sculpture in Boston, that, you know, here's we're going into Angry Black History Month. Or maybe he wants to talk about how our Boone Town Council has just unanimously passed a anti-white, anti-local ordinance that protects its replacement population residents from discrimination based on race, natural hairstyles, ethnicity, creed, color, sexual orientation, gender identity, expression, national origin or ancestry, marital or familial status, pregnancy, veteran status, religious belief or non-belief, age, and disability. The town will join Asheville, Charlotte, Raleigh, Greensboro, Durham, Hillsboro, and Morrisville in passing such inclusive anti-white, anti-local legislation. Or maybe he wants to talk about the ritual sacrifice laws that just got passed in Detroit. Or maybe he wants to talk about angry black woman Congress critter Sheila Jackson's White Devil's Act of 2023. Or maybe he wants to talk about how King David and Israel is having major PR problems with his new government as everybody's in the street protesting. Or maybe he wants to talk about the Twitter releases or the deafening silence from all those 51 intelligence officers over the Hunter laptop. Or maybe he wants to talk about Russia and Ukraine or the fentanyl crisis and the invasion of the U.S. southern border, the January 6ers still in prison, or the hundreds of thousands of white children going missing every year in every white nation. Or maybe he wants to talk about fishing. So tell us, the Fetch, what do you want to talk about tonight?
Damn, dude, that was a litany of all kinds. I couldn't even be that good if I tried, dude. That was pretty awesome. I mean, how about I talk about my cat? She's staring at me right across.
Oh, I didn't even bring in the cat report. Yes.
I got my cat. She's like saying, you know, dude, it's 3 in the morning really, it's past our bedtime. It's like, why are you up here on the radio talking into this stick that's got in front of your face? And she's like saying, this is not cool, man. And she's literally just staring at me right now. And if you got those little eyes, you know how those cats can get kind of those angry, evil eyes at you? It's kind of intimidating. So I don't know, man.
It's they try so hard to keep us on a schedule, and they get very upset with you when you break protocol. And that's what you're doing, you're breaking protocol.
Yeah, she can go to the bedroom and take a nap, you know, and go to bed. But no, she's literally sitting in front of me, staring at me. It's like, I'm getting like scared. It's like, what the hell is this? All right, let's talk about a little esoteric stuff. How about that?
Okay.
Let's just start with esoteric stuff.
I'll try to keep up.
You know, one of the things I did a long time ago, I call it Citadels to the Sun. You know, you mentioned I didn't mean to break in on him, but I don't want to confuse my work with the Occidental Observer, you know.
I'm sorry, I slipped up there.
Yeah, that's all right. You did a great job on the rest of it. It's okay. But I didn't want to confuse myself with Kevin MacDonald and his great site, Occidental Observer. But Illuminatus Observer, to those of you who don't know, the Illuminatus Observer, it was a phenomenon. It's time, you know. I haven't really done anything for that for years and years and years, but in its day, it was really something. And it really is one of the most comprehensive works on the English, the esoterics of the English language, backed up with all kinds of cool stories and ideas. And back in the day, links that you could go do your own research. And I always said that the omnific word is pi. You know, that's the omnific word, right? And most of our culture, or most of our artwork, is dedicated towards this worship of pi, the circle. So here we are in the middle of football season, right? And you got the playoffs coming out, and the teams are playing, and it's this big ritual. And there's two things that you know from your Freemasonic days. There's something called the Grand Royal Arch, which is, of course, I hope you don't disagree with me on this one, but the Platonic cycle, you know, the procession of the equinoxes as the Earth moves on its axis, you know, and it turns 25,920 years based on the Plato in his work Critias, and that's known as the Platonic cycle. And what very few people know is that most of our Western esoteric system, some of it comes out of the Sanskrit, but it's based on the number 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, and it's always 666. So if you look at the magic matrix of the sun, it's equal to 6 rows by 6, and the sum of 1 to 36 is 666. And if you look at each of the rows and each of the diagonals, it comes out to 111. And then you've got Genesis 3:14, which is pi. To those of you who don't know, pi is 3.1415926, on out to 32 digits, which is what the Masonic Western systems are based on, the first 32 digits of pi. And so what you have here is this worship of pi, essentially. And we have football season going on. And what people don't know is it's really a ritual about what? The sun or the pi. Because you have what? How many yards are on the field? It's 100 yards, right? Plus the 10 on each side, which is 300 and what? Is it 320 yards, is it? Isn't that, how much is that? 120 yards or 360 feet, something like that? Right. Am I right on that?
I think so.
That's right, 360 feet, which is pi. It's a circle. Then you have 11 players on each side, and they do this in most sports, 11 players in soccer, 11 players in football. And if you look at Genesis 3:14, they say to everybody, be cursed you are, and because you have done this, onto your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And that's what we call an achromatic cipher, because it's actually telling us how the coding is working in these Kabbalistic matrix systems. And so when you go to the beast, if you have craps showing on the die, you have a 1 and a 1, well, that 1 is then added because it's 1 to 11. The sum of 1 to 11 then becomes 66. And on the belly of the beast or the serpent, you'll have 2 sixes lying on the craps table, or 6, 6. So what they're telling you is when you see 1 showing, flip it, and you get 6 times 6 times 6 times 6, which is 1296, times that by 4, you'll do that, or by 10, it's 12,960 years, which is one half of one Platonic cycle. Put that back into the English language, it spells out the word life, with, of course, the E having a special right to remain silent, which is the fifth letter, and the sum of 1 to 5, which is the fifth letter, is the zero letter or the O letter. So hence 12,960 is a code for life. And they do that, of course, in soccer. They do that in baseball with 360 degrees around the bases. And then you had for a long, long, long time, Dodger Stadium was always 360 to right field, 360 to left field. You had right field in Yankee Stadium was 314 feet, which is, of course, again, pi. So essentially, we're looking at a system that was based on pi. And one of the reasons I speculated about why we're basing this on the esoteric system of pi, that's your omnific word. It's something that is knowable, but it's not knowable. It goes on forever. All possibilities will occur in pi. Theoretically, it's irrational, but it's rational. It just goes on and on and on forever. So it's the one thing we could visualize about deity, but equally show it in number. And they always say that there's two things they put in Kabbalah, because you have to understand our people that are running this planet are Kabbalists. They have a lot of emphasis on symbology. They put a lot of emphasis on letter number systems. So underneath each letter is a number. And then the sounds are linked to this. So letters, numbers, and sounds are all linked together. So in this Kabbalistic system, they're working always with numbers, numbers, numbers. So if that is the case, and there is an omnific word, Frederick, doesn't it make sense that the omnific word would itself be a number?
Oh, definitely, especially coming from this type of system, which is totally obsessed with numbers and then the relationship from the number to the letters.
So if the omnific word is a number, then what then would be that number? Which then, of course, would then be pi itself out to 32 digits. And that's what I based my entire work on. And so I called it the Illuminatus Observer. And what very few people understand is what you look at the word Illuminatus, you have an I, which is a 1, an L and an L, if you use Roman numerals, is 50 plus 50, which is 100, and MI. These are your Roman numerals in the word Illuminatus, which is 11.00100. And guess what? That's binary pi. Now, you can tell me that's just a coincidence. Somehow, I don't think so. I think these guys know exactly what they're doing. And, of course, you talk to people in Hollywood and talk to people around the world, and you understand that. There was a lot of truth to what was inside of the Illuminatus Observer, opened up a lot of eyes, changed a lot of people, changed their perception of reality in a way that was positive. And that was always the intent, was for us in the communication arts to be able to understand the logic and then begin to craft the necessary messages that would act as a counterdote or an antidote to the negative programming that these Kabbalists are bringing to the table each and every day. And that is why we've gone into this world. I don't know about you, Frederick, but for me, it was to communicate ideas, to communicate concepts, and really to bring about realities and truths that would help benefit people to become at least a little bit more aware so they can go out and then just think for themselves. That was kind of one of the motivations to even getting into all of this mess. And so to me, that's where we're at today. You know, we're so far ahead. You know, back to, you mentioned the Bob Tuscan Tussle, the Tuscan Tussle. That was a day when you couldn't even say anything about the Jewish people, per se. You couldn't say anything about the Kabbalists. You couldn't say anything. To mention it, you were immediately branded an anti-Semite. And now what do you see today, going in the political world today? You know, we were warning about this over a decade ago. Now you've got this law, essentially a bipartisan, which just tells you it's essentially the global elite. And, of course, the global elite. Who are they? I mean, come on. You got to put a name to them. Global elite, that's kind of etheric. What is it? Well, okay, usually the global elite are those who are your billionaires, the ones that really can buy and control everything. Money buys. Money is power. Well, okay, with 55% plus of your billionaires inside of the United States are Jewish, well, then there's a high chance that that's where your 1% is, or your 0.01%. And so who's putting in the anti-free speech bills? Who's behind the immigration? Who's behind the push for immigration? You know, 360 or 600 some odd Jewish groups are pushing for immigration into Western countries, yet they will support absolute border control on Israel. You mentioned this, the Joel Berry, I think it is, over at the Babylon Bee. We covered him today in our show today. So all of these things you're going to find go back to one single group, and it's the one group that actually is trying to pass laws where you can't even talk about the problem. And that becomes a problem. Because if we can't talk about anything, you are under absolute domination. That's why we in the West support free speech. You look at the Magna Carta, and what you will find about the great Magna Carta, and Magna Carta was reputed to have come from Luxor, which then was Osirian influence. And of course, you take Osirian influence, that leads you back into the very, very, very netherworld of Western esoteric systems. And guess what? We have really a critical, let's say, a critical challenge before us, because we are in our own countries where we're not even allowed to speak freely, essentially. So many people are afraid to speak freely. And this global elite, no matter how you look at it, they're literally trying to commit genocide on everybody. Our governments, through the past 3 years, if it hasn't been clear 3 years ago, it should be abundantly clear today. They are trying to kill you. When they start mandating that you take the vaccines, when they say you can't travel until you take our product, when they tell you that you're going to be locked down for months and months and months and months, and you're going to lose everything, you're going to lose your health, you're going to lose your job, you're going to lose your family, when they pit your own family against you based on a product that we now know is killing people, the only conclusion you can draw from all of this is that the governments, not just American ones, but governments all over the world, are just trying to kill off their population. There are elements in these governments that are exceedingly sinister. And it is time that patriots across the world, nationalists across the world, start standing up, really holding their ground, putting their heels into the sand, and really digging in to put an end to this madness that we are under. Because believe me, if these people, they don't have a reverse gear, they don't have a slowdown, they just keep pushing. And unless we put a stop to it and start to reverse it, put that tug of war and start pulling it the other way, and there's a big fire in the middle and somebody's going to go into it. And my thoughts here is I'd rather be the ones pulling them into that fire than us, than these people pulling us into their fires. So that's kind of the start of what I want to talk about. How's that to get it going, guys?
Yeah, that is great. It's, you know, we just see this push, and I always talk about, you know, the slime mold, that, you know, they're not going to stop until they are stopped. This is the problem with these people. But that you're right. They are hell-bent on their New World Order, and the big spoiler is there's no room in their New World Order for people like you and I. You know, this is a genocidal culling. This is a depopulation agenda. And once you start noticing and you look at the history of these people and their belief systems and their philosophies and what it's based on, you realize, oh, this is who they are. This is their means and motives, you know, and this is their end game. So anyway, you are listening to Blackbird Nine's Saturday Snack Shack, and with us tonight is Mr. Dennis Fetcho. And you can join us in the chat room at bb9tradingpost.chitango.com. That's bb9tradingpost.chitango.com. And after the break, we're going to be opening up the phone line, so I'll go ahead and give you that number so you can call in and talk to the Fetch. So call in at 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. Or if you have to, and remember the studio, you know, RBN has to put the bill on this, but you know, if you have to, we'd love to hear from you. But you call in the toll-free number, 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And one of the things that was fascinating when I first started to associate with the Fetch and follow the Fetch's work, both the esoteric work and the political work, which I thought was very interesting because I was also very much into the esoteric and the political side as well, was the first time I called in to his show, he was doing this beautiful analysis on the numerology that Freemasonry was based on and all the different degree programs in the Freemasons and how it was intrinsically a Jewish-derived system. And this troll was calling in, telling him he didn't know what he was talking about, and this guy was claiming he was this big wig in Freemasonry, and just was saying the Fetch didn't know what he's talking about, the Fetch didn't know what he's talking about. And I basically called in and said, well, you know, it's been a long time back in my young days. I had you know, joined the Freemasons and gone through the Blue Lodge first 3 degrees and also the York Rites. And what this man is saying is spot on to everything I saw in that. And what this caller was talking about, it's like that didn't exist in any of the lodges I saw. And so that led to the Fetch and I, you know, eventually him bringing me on his show in 2015, way back when, and, you know, talking about the Freemason side and also my work in the telecommunications as a whistleblower. And next thing you know, I was, you know, he was helping me put together my show. So what was your take, you know, back in those old days of the Troll Wars, the Fetch?
Well, you know, the Troll Wars were interesting because actually I wasn't so much, you know, believing that, let's say, Freemasonry was derived out of Jewish system. Because when you look at the coding in English, there's so much pro-life stuff going on there that talk about the beauty of nature. So I always saw early Freemasonry as kind of like a goddess worship. But the goddess Isis, though, in the traditional good ways that the ancients believed in it. It wasn't like this very negative thing. I always felt, honestly, that Freemasonry in its earliest formations was a protestation against the tyranny of Torah. And they were trying to preserve a system that actually spoke about the good. It was one way to hide some of the good. Give you one concept, for instance. You know, they say, what's the greatest or the most common invocation of humanity? Well, probably the most common invocation of humanity is not thank God, it's not thank Jesus, it's thank you. And when you look at that word, you understand it's, you know, Q and U, they kind of like blend together and they got a U next to the Q. And I thought about this and it's like, it's kind of obvious to me what they did. And I may be wrong, but I don't think so. Because you have the letter O, and that is the feminine. And then you have the letter P, which is the masculine. So you put this formula together, you call it O plus P equals Q. And that is the fertilized egg. And I thought, well, gee, that's kind of interesting because O plus P equals Q, the fertilized egg. And I'm like, okay, if that's what they're really saying, then this is actually a positive thing. So we're putting into the ether, into the world, a phrase that everybody that will use it every day. Go to a checkout stand, at least in formal traditional America, and everybody would say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And this positive would be injected into the ether, into the world, with every invocation. I never saw that as being a negative thing. You know what I mean? But if I look at what's going on in the Jewish systems, there's nothing positive going on at all. So this is why, in some cases, I regarded the early systems of English to be actually maybe it was based on some of what was coming out of Torah, or let's say the Kabbalistic schools, maybe. But what they did is they took it, twisted it, and made it positive. But then you have this idea that the negative forces of this planet, they really don't have the ability to create. The negative forces of this planet only have an ability to corrupt and destroy. So perhaps, just perhaps, there was something existing in the numerical systems that predated the Talmudic Torah type of ideologies that actually did try to hold a positive story. So what I tried to do was take the English language and turn it into a positive story for us. It's our language. Why should we be saddled as a Kabbalah system with a coding system that defers to Jews, you know what I mean, and the rabbis? Why should we do that? Shouldn't we have something of our own, something that is positive, that is uplifting, that tells a good story? Now, maybe I'm completely wrong. People will say, Fetch, you know, I talked to Father Bidgraw, and Father Bidgraw, you know, Frederick, you call me a man of mystery. Okay, sometimes you might be right. Father Bidgraw, he was the head of the Sulpician Order of the Catholic Church. Now, the Sulpician Order is the order that sets up the, I don't know what you call them, the monasteries. They're not monasteries, but the training centers. I don't know what you even call that in the Catholic Church anymore. I've kind of forgotten more than I remember.
Seminaries?
But seminaries. Thank you, dude. Yeah. You're sharp today, man. I don't know.
Thanks, Mom.
I
That's from my mom's side of the family.
I've been in the Middle East too long. Half my language is gone. Yeah, the seminaries. And that was his job. And he said, you know, it's sad, but in North America, in Canada, you know, Christianity and Catholicism is dying. But
hold that thought. We are getting ready to go into a break. We're here with the Saturday Snack Shack with Mr. Dennis Fetcho here on RBN, because you can handle the truth. And we will be back after these messages.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
When I was a little boy around the table at home, I remember very well when company would come. I would have to be right still until the whole crowd ate. My mama always said to me, Jim, take a tater and wait. Now taters never did taste good but chicken on the plate, but I had to eat them just the same. That is why I look so bad and have these puny ways, because I always had to take an old cold tater and wait.
And we're back. You are listening to the Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackburn, a.k.a. Blackbird 9. And with us tonight is Mr. Dennis Fecho. And you are listening to RBN. And I always hate to do commercials, but it's so important that networks like RBN stay on the air. So if you still have resource, you can go out to the RBN website, you know, republicbroadcasting.org, and there's the donate button right there. And what you can do is make a donation, and that keeps shows like this on the air because we need them in the battle against this mockingbird media. And so before the break, oh, also, we're going to open up the phone lines so you can call in and talk to the Fetch. So the phone lines are open now, 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252 or 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. And yeah, before the break, we were talking about the differences of the Masonic model. And one of the things in my work I talk about, this is kind of what, you know, I think the Fitch was alluding to, was around 10,000 BC, you saw a major change in the civilization models that led to our agrarian culture, husbandry, the beginnings of the city-states of walled cities like Jericho, Ai, and Zor. And I agree with the fact that when these systems were first being developed and chronicled and taught, you know, it was a very positive thing. But my model is that they were rediscovered by this synagogue of Satan, if you will, and corrupted. And so what we have now is a corrupted form that they're trying to impose on us. So the Fetch, you please continue with, you know, what you were talking about with, you know, your work.
Yeah, and I agree 100% about the corruption. I think that corruption really started with the Scottish Rites, you know, with Pike and the Scottish Rites, that when it really started to take hold and the corruption really started to grab. But we were talking about the Catholic Church, and I was, I had actually an assassination attempt. I ended up being, they called it a Mossad style hit. That's just what they called it. I was kind of thrown into the ground. Fortunately, I caught it at the last second, and I slid about 12 feet on this icy surface up in Montreal. I was actually collapsed like an accordion. I had 7 fractures, you know, from my groin up to my ribs. I hit my chin so hard on my ribs, I actually cracked a rib also. My leg was thrown into my hip area so much that I actually fractured the inner part of the groin. It was a kind of a painful experience, you know. It wasn't very fun. But while I was there, the head of Sulpician order shows up in my room, and so we got to talk. And this was back when I was really heavy into the, you know, working with the Isisian codes is what I called it. And we had a big discussion about religion. And he was telling me, you know, it's really sad because it's really hard to get this, seminaries, thank you for that word again, to really function well in North America and Europe. But he found that in the third world, especially down in Latin America, and, you know, the seminaries were booming. They were having a great recruiting. You know, everything's a business, everything is growth. So right. Even in churches, so they were talking about how everything was growing, it was great. And I talked about the Isisian codes. He says, you know, when I was back when he was in the 1940s, you know, back in when he was just getting started type of thing, he was that old, but back, he said, when he just got started, they actually had 2 weeks of teaching exactly what I was talking about. Literally exactly. He said, but we were told that this was the ways of the devil. And
exactly.
I said, you know, I said,
it's,
you know,
natural
maybe,
law.
Yeah, maybe it is. But I said, even if it is, I'll tell you what, you should learn it because you should know how your enemy thinks.
Exactly. That's the other thing. You don't have to believe this, but know that your adversary does believe this. Okay, we're going to open up the phone lines. So, Mr. Producer, could you bring in Mr. Jay from Los Angeles, please?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I had a
greetings, good sir. What do you want to talk about?
Got a couple of mini questions. You can pick and choose which, if any, you want to answer. One, I had heard you, Blackbird, mentioned that you on another show, I was trying to send an email to you to ask a specific question, but is there a good line to reach you directly to send an email to, or are you comfortable putting something out online, or a way to
most people just use the chat room at Blackbird 9 or BB9 Chatango.com, you know, that one. BB9TradingPost.chicago.com, excuse me. But also the email for the show is blackbird-9, the number 9, at live.com, blackbird-9 at live.com.
That's where I sent one earlier. Okay, so okay. My question was, I think we're all in agreement that the synagogue of Satan, these are not these people, the Khazarian Empire doesn't trace back to the Hebrews of the Bible, etc. So you're saying that likely a lot of the things that they are pushing now are the inversions and the negative version of what was once a good thing, right? So I was wondering, where did that take place? Was that through Babylon that this became, and then now that then the Khazarians picked this up somewhere a couple hundred years ago? And if so, what do you think that integration was like? How did it travel from satanic roots into this small group of Eastern Europeans, and then how did they integrate it into our culture? I mean, I guess like you're saying, Scottish Rite and Illuminati and stuff like that. But
oh, good question, Fetch. You want to take a stab at that?
That's actually a very good question. I would just pose, and it's just pure speculation, conjecture, as we like to say. It's pure speculation because we really don't know. But for our systems, they actually originate in the Greek. We're not pulling so much from the Babylonian. We're pulling a lot of our stuff out of Pythagorean systems. So that's going to be Greek. Now, if you're familiar with Ukraine, you will see a lot of cities that end in pole, like Mariupol, Sevastopol. That pole is, of course, from the Greek. So the Greeks, their empire extended right into that same area where you have what they call the homeland of Khazaria. So it makes me wonder that as the Greeks traveled up and one of their larger northeastern expansions was into the Ukrainian area of today, that is not where they actually got this information from. So what they're actually pulling from, we would theorize, is that they're getting it actually from the Pythagorean schools that were put into the Greek. So if you look at, for instance, the Cyrillic of the Russian, it's heavily influenced by Greeks. In other words, it was a Greek monk who created the alphabet for the Russian people. So there was a lot of interplay in the Ukraine, in this area, between Greek culture and what would be then white Russian culture, with this Khazarian influence in this area also. So I would think that part of the reason why Ukraine is such a hot spot right now is that it actually is the very core of the esoteric systems which are trying to rule the world today. They try to send it off into Babylon and Sumerian, and sure, they probably have some influence there. But the reality of it is that our system, Gematria, comes from the Greeks. And we know that the Jewish people back in that day took a lot of their information from the Greeks. It's coming from the Greek. So that would be my conjecture on that idea. I'm just saying the Greek Empire extended up into Ukraine. Well, okay, if that's where the heart of Khazaria is, and they're using this same type of system, especially the Lurianic schools, which then takes you into Kabbalah Lubavitch, well, to me it makes sense that they actually got it from here.
But were the Greek systems, were those malicious in nature, or were they more, they were actually used to help and they've been inverted? Do you think that they were nefarious from the beginning?
No, I think it's just all been inverted, because you look at the Greeks, what they tried to do is use geometry to try to explain the world in a mathematical, numerical, mathematical sense. They did apply to number esoteric meaning. So, you know, they had the monad and the duod and the triad and the, you know, they had all kinds of esoteric symbology attached to that. But if you read it, there's not a whole lot of nefariism in it. And I think our Western systems, we need to also equally find the positives in it. You know, if we don't find the positives in it, then we're stuck with a potential gold mine of knowledge that we're simply throwing away because our current systems, which we know are against us, are equally trying to vilify it. They're happily vilifying everything.
Right.
They flaunt it in your face, you know?
Yeah.
They're flaunting it in your face, guys. You know, yeah. Look at the Masonic Eye of Horus and all of this stuff. You know, they're flaunting it now in a way to demonize everything.
Right. Okay. Jay, one of the things I would add to what Mr. Fetcher was saying was also in my work, the vein of 1118 when the Knight Templars were formed and 1126 when they dug what they thought was the Temple Mount but was actually something else. And that is a key point when all of these esoteric systems start getting incorporated into this Jewish culture to create things like the Talmud, the Kabbalah, the Zohar, etc. So, you know, I would look at the Priory of Zion and then the Knight Templar frames around 1126. So thanks for the call.
Thank you.
And now, Mr. Producer, would you bring in Brian from Missouri, please?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, greetings, good sir. Happy Saturday.
Yeah, you know, I found something on the internet a couple of weeks ago, and it's still there, and it was just so illuminating. It was an article on the basis of, like, prescription drugs. It was on prepareforchange.net, and it had the big RX thing, and it said that comes from ancient Egypt. The R is the Eye of Horus, and the little X down there means your death. And they went into the Gaonim, what was a priest class from the cult of Aten during the early Egyptian period, and how they used poison to control the human herd, that when humanity's poisoned, the human mind, you kind of shut down, you get docile and whatnot, and that they've been using this for centuries, and there is a region in Iran called the Medes, and it's where media and medical comes from, those terms, because they used propaganda to destroy. And I mean, it was just such an excellent article. I'd never seen anything like it. And so the other thing that I do, I'm the one that I do meditation twice a day, chakra dhyana, where you hum on your chakras. That's true spirituality. To me, religion is just not, it's fake spirituality. But doing that, there's chakras above the veil, above your crown, where you can download information. And I downloaded a lot of information on this kind of stuff. And what they showed me was that there was a dark priest class that were really involved in black magic, human sacrifice, that kind of thing. And it was during the reign of Queen Nefertiti. And they were basically the problems we have today. It all stems to them. And that it was such a problem that one of the pharaohs, Akhenaten, said, we need a new god or whatever. They were trying to take care of this evil priest class. And I looked on the internet, and I did find information on that. So anyway.
Yeah, that's a fascinating part of Egyptian history, and also that pharmakia is medicines, you know, as poisons. And I always think about the Iliad by Homer of the character Circe on her island that, you know, turned the men into beasts with drugging their food. So, Fetch, what do you take on the caller's comments and questions?
Again, all of these, all the mythologies tell a great story, and certainly we can't discount anything. Again, I look at just the English side of it. Equally, the letter B for us and the letter R for us has its own meanings. Equally, and we could still turn that into positive. So, you know, letter B is latent life. It's a woman, the profile of a pregnant woman. Make the bottom bigger than the top. And the R, of course, is the breaking of that. And then what you have is, of course, birth, breath, born, you know, bread. All these words and archetypes fall off the B and the R. So, you know, you do have the black magic side of it. And then, of course, what I've like discussed earlier, just try to put what are the positives equally of this. We do know that both sides have to use the same magic. You know, when you look at the Popol Vuh and you look at the creation stories, what they told us was that they went through 3-4 renditions before they could get to what is, I guess, humankind, mankind. And the most important thing was that we were able to speak. So we know that speech and being able to speak plays an intricate role in the creation of what is humanity today. That coming from the Popol Vuh. Now, the Popol Vuh was supposedly the tales of the Mayans, or I think the Mayans, maybe the Aztecs, but I believe the Mayans. But we have to understand that those were all chronicled by Jesuits, by priests. You know what I mean? So maybe they just lied. And they made up the story. And you know what I mean? Right. You don't know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We don't know. I mean, they're just creating a type of story. And they say, okay, now that we're here, let's tell the Mayans this is the Popol Vuh. That's their story. Because we don't really know. You know what I mean? We don't know. So,
I understand. Brian. Thanks for calling.
By the way, you know, ISIS was said to have drawn out the word from Ra through spitting. You know, she chewed on something and she spit into something, the spittle. And of course, from that spittle, you get this idea, you know, Ra was sick and she healed Ra through the spittle, you know, what she had chewed, put together in her little magic herself. But she healed Ra. But in the process, she was able to coax out the word, you know, the omnific word from Ra. And you might find spittle and, you know, spit equally in the words like hospital.
Oh, and very course, good, yeah. All right, Mr. Producer, can we have Dave in Nevada?
Hello.
Greetings, good sir. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday to you, too. First of all, I wanted to ask you, what is that country music that you're playing? I wanted to know who that artist is or was.
I was thinking the same. Get this stuff, man.
Who
is that?
That is a old country western performer, Jimmy Dickens.
Okay.
And I think that was his debut album, Take an Old Colt Tater and Wait.
Yeah, it's really good because I like that style of music, and I've never heard that before, that song.
Yeah, that was one of my father's favorite songs, and so that was kind of like an homage to my father with that.
Oh, so. Interesting.
Yes.
I was kind of interested in what you guys were talking about because I kind of come from a Catholic background. I wasn't raised Catholic, but I went to a Catholic school and I studied philosophy, and I studied philosophy at a Catholic school. So we did a little bit of everything. We did the Greeks and we studied like St. Thomas and St. Augustine. But the first thing I wanted to say is I think that the when I look at places like Washington, D.C. and what's going on in the government, I just feel like the reason why a lot of people are confused about what's going on is because it seems like they need to acknowledge what Washington, D.C. is, which is basically it's just a big Masonic temple to me. That's what I look at. And I look at the Vatican also as basically there are a lot of Masons involved inside the Catholic Church now. And so I look at the Vatican as basically a Masonic institution as well. But that's a little hard for people to figure out because all the information is a little more obscured on the Catholic front. But the person that you were talking about, this, I guess the seminarian who said it was the kind of like the devil's, the studying all that stuff was the devil's playground. I think he was being a little loose with his language because I studied it too. The devil's stuff. And if you read the most venerated Catholic philosopher, St. Thomas Aquinas, he borrowed his system from Aristotle, who was a Greek. And he simply applied it to Catholic theology. And if you read Thomas Aquinas, he constantly refers back to the philosopher, and he's referring to Aristotle. So if you know anything about the history of the Catholic Church and theology, those guys back then at that time who were basically developing systematic theology, they basically borrowed from the Greeks, and they weren't shy about it. I think what happened was, I think the Catholic Church, once they developed their theology, they got to the point where they said, okay, in order to keep this theology intact and since we've finally come to this thing, this body of work, we can't separate the theology now from we can't simply use natural theology by itself. It has to be Christianized. Otherwise, we're using it for nefarious purposes. But I never heard people saying, "Oh, Aristotle is satanic or Luciferian." It never got to that point.
I got that more on my father's Protestant side. Yeah, he was, his family was Baptist. My mother's family was Catholic. And so I always say, I'm one half Baptist, one half Catholic, one half Baptist, one half scientist. Yeah. And if you find that confusing, imagine how I felt. Christmas and Easter were always very confusing to me as a child. So, but Fetch, what do you think about what Mr. Dave had to say? We only got a few more minutes left.
Okay, again, regarding the nefariousness, we have a choice. We can either find the good in what we have, or we can vilify our own foundational roots, which I find to be exceedingly counterproductive. If you go back into our systems, you look at the Germans with the development of steganography. Steganography makes its way into the diplomatic circles, code systems. All of this was embedded and coded into language. There's many, many scripts written back in the medieval period that they still have not deciphered yet. Now with AI learning, they're starting to decipher some of what they actually wrote into books, entire books, manuscripts, using steganography, codes in the language. You go into Cornelius Agrippa, and he's on the Kabbalah of the Jews. He says straight up, this Kabbalah of the Jews is just plain nonsense. It destroys the work and the word of God, and they just divide, conquer. They do, it's just nonsense. So don't listen to this Kabbalah. So there was an existent Kabbalah all the way back in the 1600s that they knew about because Cornelius Agrippa was talking about it. And he's talking about the Jewish Kabbalah is a complete fraud. Today, we live in a world where the Kabbalah of the Jewish people is elevated to all things. So it took them 500 years to make themselves kings of the world. But that doesn't mean you should submit to these people because our systems are not based on their systems. That's really my point to bring forward here.
Excellent point. I would just like to add that, it's fascinating to me that, it was used to an excommunicable offense to be a Freemason in the eyes of the Catholic Church. And so
it
that
still
was,
is.
Now you have this open campaign where people are promoting Freemasonry and the church working together, right? Well, thanks for the call, Fetch. Going to give you the last word. We're about out of time, so real quick, anything you want to say to wrap up?
Just want to say, if you enjoyed the show, listen to my show, Saturday morning, 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern at speakfreeradio.com. We'll get a little plug in there, guys.
Oh, yeah.
And thanks for having me on. That was a very fast hour, dude.
Yeah, thanks so much for getting up early and coming on the show. And I'd like to thank everyone for coming out tonight. And until next time, I will see you all at the rendezvous.
It tastes good with chicken on the plate, but I had to eat them just the same. That is why I look so fat and have these puny weights, because I always had to take an old cold tater away.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Anymore, Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.